Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a message on the Montana Talks app. This came in from a listener in Powell, Wyoming. We got some great listeners in northern Wyoming through 970 KBUL Billings. And anyway, making the point here that, okay, look, you've got these, here you've got these Democrat governors, these Democrat mayors, big city mayors like Chicago, et cetera, who are destroying their cities. And they are going to build a wall. They're going to build a attempt to build a wall to keep ICE out, to keep federal law enforcement from coming in and deporting these illegal aliens. That's the wall they're going to build. That's the point that Jesse Waters made that I shared in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. The listener in Powell says, okay, cut off the money to the big cities. They're going to ask for help with all the crime and everything. Cut them off. Don't give them our taxpayer dollars if they're going to shut off the effort to deport these criminal illegal aliens. And this listener in Powell is exactly right. There has to be consequences for this type of stuff. We broke this story yesterday Fox News broke the story. We shared it with you as it broke here on Montana Talks when we had Danny Reberg joining us during the show yesterday, that the FBI director, who was it? It was the FBI director and then another top Biden administration official refused to testify before Congress this week. They refuse to even testify. They refuse to even be questioned in the midst of this invasion. Here is Senator Josh Hawley. He was on with Hannity.
Why would they not show up and for the first time in 15 years and tell the nation whether or not this country is safe and secure, especially in light of known terrorists in the country, cartels in the country, gangs in the country, murderers, rapists, violent criminals in the country? Can you explain that?
Well, it's because they don't want to be accountable, Sean, for their terrible record. Just look at what happened yesterday with the conviction of the killer of Lincoln Riley. Who let that guy into the country? The answer is Alejandro Mayorkas, at the behest of Joe Biden, of course. And Mayorkas has lied about this time after time after time. He didn't want to show up and have to answer questions about it. Look at Director Wray. What has his FBI done? From the Russia hoax to the wiretapping scandals to trying to put spies into Christian churches. He doesn't want to have to answer questions about any of that. So now they're just not doing it. Now they're just sent out, we won't even show up. Sean, this is an outrage. And I just say with Wray, that guy shouldn't be FBI director 1 second longer. He needs to resign right now. President Trump needs to have the opportunity to appoint his successor. And we need to clean house, Sean, from top to bottom in the FBI, at the DOJ, Homeland Security. We need a total and complete house cleaning.
Yeah, and one of the points Danny Reberg made on the show yesterday is, look, as Montana's longest serving congressman, he knows a lot of folks. He knows folks who've spent, 30 years plus serving in the FBI, folks maybe even that live right here in Montana, that can help go in and clean that agency out from the mess that it has become. But yeah, both the FBI director and Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas refusing to testify. Now, of course, if they were Republicans, they'd probably get thrown in prison. But because they're Democrats, they'll get a pass, right?
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Every journalist in Washington knew that Matt Gaetz was never going to be confirmed as Attorney General. And abruptly, a day after making the rounds on Capitol Hill, realizing he didn't have the votes, realizing that media organizations were digging up one piece of evidence after another about sexual assault allegations, which he vehemently denies, he pulled out. And Donald Trump would never have withdrawn his name, but seemed kind of relieved and praised him for not wanting to be a distraction. That's what Gaetz said. Also, politics is personal, and a lot of people on the Hill didn't like him, as well as having questions about how he would run the Justice Department with so little experience. So it really wasn't a shock. It's basic math. Republicans wouldn't even commit to voting for him. Now they're glad they don't have to walk the plank. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Lots of clouds today with occasional sun. Temperatures hold fairly steady in the upper 30s. Breezy winds. Tonight, mainly cloudy. Low near 23. Chance of seeing some rain on Saturday. High near 41. Chance of rain, then some snow. Saturday night, low near 23. Sunday, lots of clouds. Chance of seeing some snow early. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
Yeah, this is funny. I had an opening rant on the show the other day. What is it with this brawl of the wild? It's not some fair trade organic coffee brand. It's the Cat Grizz game. It's a football game. Just call it Cat Grizz anyway. Our producer Travis responded, what's wrong with brawl of the wild? And he had some cool trivia that went along with it. Check that out, MontanaTalks.com. Hey, plus, if you're looking for a hotel in Bozeman, you better act fast and look at prices and more. In Montana.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, it was fun catching up with Jeremy Carl and family. They came down and joined us at the Rockin' R. We did our live show the day after the election. Jeremy Carl is a senior fellow with the Claremont Institute, lives in Bozeman, Montana. Man, Jeremy, wasn't that a great morning? Wasn't that fun?
It was a great day. You know, I think we felt pretty confident, at least I had going in, but to get that type of resolution early on and know that at least the last 4 years of fairly nightmarish politics that we just lived through was over, it was a great feeling.
Yeah. So were you down in Mar-a-Lago? I swear it's like everybody's in Mar-a-Lago this week. I saw our friend Heather Nauert, you know, who lives in Bozeman.
Yeah.
She was in Mar-a-Lago. It's like, man, everybody's in Mar-a-Lago. I need a beach vacation myself. What the heck?
Well, I'm actually just leaving in a few hours, but yeah, I was down here, and it's funny you mentioned because I had originally booked a ticket to D.C. for a week, like a few weeks before the election, because I just felt pretty confident about the way it was going to go, and I figured that'd be good to talk to folks. And then I got to D.C. and spent a couple of days there, and I'm like, you know, everybody I really want to talk to is down in Palm Beach. And so I booked a plane ticket on a couple hours of notice and spent the rest of the week down here in Palm Beach. And, yeah, this is kind of the White House in exile, or I don't know what the right name for it is.
Like the Southern White House.
I tell you, they have a little bit more creative fashions.
Yeah, it's the Southern White House.
A little more creative fashions up here.
Yeah, the Southern White House, kind of like what was it, Truman?
Fact, the original Mar-a-Lago was donated with the idea of being a kind of winter White House, and then the government didn't want to pay to upkeep it, and Trump, being a sharp businessman, swooped in and bought it, and lo and behold, it became the alternate White House as it is.
So what's it been like down at Mar-a-Lago? What are the conversations like down there?
Well, it's interesting, and I don't want to say too much, because I think there's certainly those you know, and I would not count myself in the inner circle of that, but certainly around the outer circles, perhaps, don't say, and those who say probably don't know. But I think just in general, there's a great feeling of optimism. There's a degree of seriousness as well. I mean, I've talked to a couple of friends who are kind of on the inside of looking at personnel and other things, and one of them just hadn't slept at all the previous night after I saw him. He kind of dragged himself out to dinner with me. So I think people are working. I think there's definitely a celebratory mood, but people are also working really hard because I think they realize that we weren't really prepared when we came in 2017. We didn't expect to win necessarily, and now I think we had a greater degree of confidence, and we want to make sure we also know what we're up against. That we have the right folks and right programs in there to fight the left.
Yeah, obviously the biggest news in the last 24 hours is Matt Gaetz, Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, withdrew his name from consideration for Attorney General. Dana Loesch kind of took to her show yesterday and said she thinks this is Trump playing 4D chess. And then even Victor Davis Hanson, the great historian, a few days ago was saying that he kind of saw Matt Gaetz as the sacrificial lamb. to basically, you know, make all of these other nominees more tolerable to these squishy Republicans in the Senate, some of them,
yeah,
or to the, you know, to the opposition, shall we say.
Yeah. I mean, I think he was a serious nominee who Trump wanted to get through. I'm sad that he won't, because I think he, a lot of stuff that was being said about him just simply wasn't true. And I think he would have been really terrific in that role. And by the way, that's the real reason that people were going after him, is because they were afraid of him. But I think Pam Bondi will do, I don't know her personally, but I hear very good things about her, and I'm sure she'll do well in that role. And I think you're right that almost instinctually, because I don't think it was necessarily part of some sort of devious broad plan, but I think instinctually, which is the way Trump likes to work, he kind of understood that if he set Matt Gaetz out there as the guy who was just showing how hardcore he was willing to be, that maybe some of these other nominees would look a little bit more reasonable and centrist by comparison, and it was putting Congress on notice that he wasn't going to just send a bunch of squishes out there. So I think mission accomplished in that perspective.
Yeah. For our listeners, for those that may not recall, Jeremy Carl, you actually served in the first Trump administration. You were an appointee in the Department of Interior working on federal fish and wildlife issues. So I certainly wouldn't be surprised if you get a tap on the shoulder to do something else in the next Trump administration here. Talk about like just that process and the importance of quick, fast action here in getting his team into place. I like the violence of action on President Trump's part so far, getting these names out early to show that he needs to get his team in place day one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's a really long process, and especially for folks like myself who weren't coming in from the government. I think I spent like 7 months going through different types of clearances and things like that. This is not, this is for a cabinet appointment, not even a cabinet appointment. Now, they obviously have ways of expediting that for cabinet appointees, especially when they're in the government. But the reality is, look, the deep state and the Democrats are happy to let these sorts of appointments languish as long as they can, because they recognize as long as the, and I'm using air quotes here, professionals are kind of running things, that's frankly just a proxy for the Democrats. So they don't want Trump's appointees in there, which means we really need to get Trump's appointees in there. And so I think they're being very serious about doing that. They're kind of doing very, very actively now, kind of second level down interview sort of undersecretary.
Well, we got to hit the hard break here.
Announcements.
We got to hit the hard break here. But Jeremy Carl, if you can stick with us, I want to get your take on the radical transgender lawmaker Zoe Zephyr in congressional issues and much more. If you can, stick with us.
I'm Giova Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. 26-year-old Jose Ibarra has been convicted and sentenced for brutally murdering 22-year-old Georgia nursing student Lakin Riley. Riley went for a run on February 22nd on the University of Georgia campus. During the trial, prosecutor Sheila Ross argued that Ibarra killed Riley after she fought off his attempt to rape her.
Lakin left those scratches, and the physical evidence says that she left those scratches because that is why his DNA is underneath her right fingernails.
She says Ibarra then bashed her skull with a rock repeatedly. The judge handed down Ibarra's sentence of life without parole after listening to powerful statements from Riley's heartbroken family, like her father, Jason Riley.
I am haunted by the thought of the fear she must have felt in those final moments, and it breaks my heart knowing that she suffered.
The killing drew attention to the national immigration debate. Ibarra is from Venezuela and was in the country illegally. There's more on this story at foxnews.com. Subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Lots of clouds today with occasional sun. Temperatures hold fairly steady in the upper 30s. Breezy winds. Tonight, mainly cloudy. Low near 23. Chance of seeing some rain on Saturday. High near 41. Chance of rain, then some snow. Saturday night, low near 23. Sunday, lots of clouds. Chance of seeing some snow early. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
The violent Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua is now in Montana. We talked about that and much more on Thursday's Montana Talks. What should we talk about on Friday? Well, you tell us. I think we're going to have an open lines Friday. I want to talk more about the American farmer and rancher. If you're one of those people concerned about carbon dioxide emissions, you shouldn't be punishing American agriculture. You should be thanking our farmers and ranchers. Montana Talks statewide, 9 to 10.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
This week, Corteva unveiled a drought-resistant wheat seed that could be revolutionary in advancing more climate-resilient hybrid crops for a crop that's been difficult to innovate. The new proprietary hybrid seed has the potential to increase yields by 10% while using the same amount of land and resources. The non-GMO technology can also provide yields 20% above competitors in drought conditions. The Indianapolis-based company plans to bring hybrid hard red winter wheat to North America by 2027 as competitors race to bring drought-tolerant seeds to the market. In other news, earlier this week at the public auction yards in Billings, J&L Livestock had quite the sale. It was the annual Montana Angus female bonanza. They offered 680 head of AI bred heifers that averaged $3,196 a head. 936 pasture bred heifers averaged $2,909 a head. 1,292 head of two coming 3-year old bred cows brought $3,377 a head. And 591 head of 3 to 6-year old bred Angus commercial cows brought $2,930 a head. Very strong prices for bred females this fall from Joe and Linda Goggins and the whole crew there at J&L Livestock. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, it reminds me of the great Rush Limbaugh, live from sunny South Florida, something to that effect. Man, Rush Limbaugh, what a legend. But anyway, Jeremy Carl, senior fellow at the Claremont Institute, he is joining us live from sunny South Florida. He is at Mar-a-Lago as we speak. Pretty entertaining, though. He's making sure that he gets out of there in time. In fact, Jeremy, you were telling me, you know, you were going to have some more important meetings with some important folks down there at Mar-a-Lago later today. But you're like, guys, I got to get out of here. We got the Cat Grizz game coming up. I got to get back to Bozeman.
I did. This is why we'll never be a cabinet secretary, because I'm like, you know, guys, hard stop. You know, the last flight out is 3:30 p.m. So I gotta get to the Miami airport by then. So, you know, that's got to keep priorities in order.
That's right. That's right. Well, I want to get your take. So I did an interview with Jesse Kelly the other day on the First TV. And of course, you know, Jesse Kelly, he's a, you know, rock solid conservative commentator. He's a Marine Corps veteran from Iraq. So I wonder if we ever crossed paths during our time over there. But we were talking about how here's Joe Biden potentially, you know, escalating the threat of the United States getting involved in a bigger way in, you know, in a direct conflict with Russia. Basically, here you've got Joe Biden potentially getting us into World War III before he leaves office. And then on top of that, they're draining every possible piggy bank imaginable, sending all of our any money they can overseas, whether it's Ukraine or elsewhere, trying to fund every little pet project they can possibly fund. I almost wish we could go back to the days of, you know, when the Bill Clinton White House was simply removing the W's from the White House keyboards. You know, let's go back to those little pranks instead of this get us into the World War III types of pranks that are going on right now.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, I'd say it's unbelievable to watch, but unfortunately it's all too believable where we are, whether it's just shoveling more money into Ukraine or whether it's, any of the other things that you just touched on. But it is a dangerous time. And then, of course, on immigration, they're doing, after running about, we're going to close the border, they're now doing all sorts of things to open up the border more dramatically. And of course, regime media is not going to cover that at all. So, you know, we're going to have to really hit the ground running, and that's another reason why there's a lot of activity here, because there's a lot of stuff that we're going to have to undo quickly.
That's right. Oh, yeah, what you just referenced, I didn't get to that story yet here, but the Biden administration, just like I mentioned, they're draining every piggy bank. They're, you know, doing these things that could potentially get us into World War III. But, yeah, they're not cracking down on the border at all. They're actually trying to figure out ways to make it worse before Trump comes into office. They're quietly allowing illegal aliens to use an app to check in. They can just use an app to check in on their smartphone. Yeah. And, I mean, it's like unbelievable. Like I can't. There's probably a million things that we as the taxpayers don't have an app for that, for something to make our lives easier. But boy, they've got an app to make the lives easier for illegal aliens to break into this country.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just stunning. I mean, at this point, I don't even know what to say, right? I also don't know what to say to what is thankfully a minority of Montanans, but a larger minority of Americans who kind of fall for this nonsense, right? Like, they say one thing, they do another, and then they just count on the media, which they usually can count on them, to completely cover their backs. And it's just outrageous.
Yeah. What are some of the other interesting conversations? I know you can't share all, of course, but what are some of the other interesting things that are standing out to you from the conversations you're having down in Mar-a-Lago?
Well, I think there's seriousness. I think that we're seeing some good people, some really good people applying for things. And I think that's, you know, this is like one of the underrated things about the kind of vibe shift, for lack of a more formal term, that we had about Trump this time, where it was just not just did he get more votes, but it was kind of a little bit less taboo in certain circles to say that you were supporting Trump. Is I think that there are kind of a lot more sort of conventionally qualified, for lack of a better term, people who are kind of throwing their hat in the ring. Now that can have positives and negatives, right? Because sometimes you want people who are just going to go in there and be disruptors, particularly at the top. But I think when you're trying to fill kind of the middle, upper middle levels of your administration, it does help if there's kind of more people with experience and things like that who can kind of come in and help you there. So I think that'll be just one of the many things that is helping Trump. And I think you're seeing with some of these picks that he's aware of some of the challenges that he had in the first administration and the ways he was punished on the way out for the last 4 years. And I think he has learned a lot. And so that's just really encouraging to see.
Well, and I think the Gates nomination and then J.D. Vance personally walking Matt Gaetz through the offices and meeting with all of these senators, I'll bet you now Donald Trump and J.D. Vance know exactly who their friends are, who's truly going to be with them when they really need them the most, and who isn't. So they are going to be walking back into the White House with eyes wide open, fully aware of what's taking place. All right, Jeremy Carl, hold that thought. We'll be back in 60 seconds here. Right. Made me laugh. Now we're nicknaming trees. Spruce Wayne. All right. Well, you can call yourself whatever you want to, right? Jeremy Carl, senior fellow at the Claremont Institute, joining us from Mar-a-Lago as he gets ready to head back to Bozeman for the Big Cat Grizz game taking place tomorrow. Jeremy, did you see J.K. Rowling's tweet back at Zoe Zephyr?
Yeah, I think I did. There were a few tweets from her, but yeah, definitely that she's kind of pushing back aggressively, and that's good because, of course, the Montana media, with a one honorable exception here at Montana Talks, you know, largely gave Zoe Zephyr a pass, and you know, it's nice to have somebody with a megaphone calling out Zoe Zephyr, or Zach Rash, as I prefer to call him.
Yeah, for those who don't recall, Jeremy Carl did a big profile because a lot of people were wondering, hey, who is Zoe Zephyr? No. Who is the real Zoe Zephyr? Not like this made up, put lipstick on, you know, but behind the mask, behind all the publicity, who actually is this person? Where did he grow up? What was his life like before he started, identifying as a woman? And Jeremy Carl did this big write-up, and we had it on our Montana Talks website. And I think that was last year or the year before? It was the biggest article on our website for the entire year. But, yeah, J.K. Rowling – is basically calling out, you know, radical transgender lawmaker Zoe Zephyr. I've got a story on our Montana Talks website right now. Jeremy, isn't it amazing the lack of introspection being done by the liberal media in Montana? I mean, Trende Aragua, the big news came out this week that the Department of Homeland Security is confirming that Trende Aragua has a presence in Montana. And I don't even think anybody else in the Montana media even covered that story. I certainly, nothing stood out to me. Maybe they did. Yeah. Send me a link if they did. But it's crazy, the lack of introspection on their part.
Yeah, I mean, I never know whether to say that it's a gift or a curse, right? At one level, it's a gift because when our opponents are not taking seriously what voters are saying and things like that, then that ultimately helps us, but it doesn't help the country. And the same thing with the media. You know, this is a conservative state, as we saw, obviously, despite all of the biased media coverage that we had going into this election and the election results. But we just, you know, by and large, we don't have a media that's interested in doing anything other than very one-sided liberal propaganda. And so, you know, it's at this, you know, there are these huge stories, and they don't get covered unless somebody like you is talking about them. And, you know, I think that's just it's a bad place for all the Montanans who aren't listening to the show, unfortunately, right? If you're not listening to this, you're not going to know half the stuff that's going on in the state because the liberal media won't talk about it.
That's right. Well, pack your bags, Jeremy. Get all packed up there in Mar-a-Lago. You got a big game to get back to here in Montana. Thanks for freeing up some time for us here this morning while you're back in Mar-a-Lago. Quick break. We've got the phone lines open for you, 294-0970.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh man, got some messages that came in. Light Brows in Hardin. Light Brows in Hardin, a great Special Forces veteran I've gotten to meet on a few occasions now. He says, in reference to Zoe Zephyr, the radical transgender lawmaker from Missoula, Montana, you can't fix a problem between the ears with surgery between the legs. I'll say that again. You can't fix a problem between the ears with surgery between the legs. Logan in Roundup. So are these Democrat mayors and these Democrat governors, are these big cities building a wall to keep ICE agents out? Well, I don't know if it's a – I don't think it's a figurative or a literal wall. I think it's a figurative wall where they're going to try to keep, you know, federal agents from arresting and deporting these criminal illegal aliens. But anyway, Logan in Roundup says, I wonder if they've ever heard of helicopters. You can hear that sweet sound already, can't you, Logan? As the Trump and Tom Homan come in to take these illegal aliens back to where they came from. Robert in Billings says, we should send the illegals from the states and the cities that don't want them to the sanctuary cities and then cut off funding to those places to see how they like that. But yeah, as Jeremy Carl referenced in our earlier conversation, the Biden administration, you know, here they are, they're trying to get us, you know, practically into World War III before Trump takes office. They're emptying every piggy bank they can possibly empty at the federal level. But of course, the point that I made on Jesse Kelly's program the other night is that they're not giving, you know, they're not emptying the piggy bank to help out our laid off Stillwater miners here in Montana. They're not emptying the piggy bank to help you. They're emptying the piggy bank to put it in the pockets of their liberal buddies and into you know, all these other countries all over the world. But as Jeremy pointed out, the Biden administration is also trying to make the southern border situation even worse as Joe Biden gets prepared to exit the White House.
Sandra, the Biden administration is quietly loosening immigration policies before Trump takes office. This according to the New York Post. It reports the administration is testing a new app that will allow illegal migrants to bypass in-person check-ins at their local ICE office. Jeff Paul is live with more. It sounds like they're just giving Donald Trump one more thing to undo.
Well, John, we do know the Biden administration has been testing this new immigration and customs app, and the idea is to streamline the check-in process for migrants, allow them to use their phones or computers to touch base with immigration officials while they wait for their date in court instead of appearing for those check-ins in person. Now, a source tells Fox News ICE has been using the app already in a couple of cities, but according to the New York Post, it's going to be launched officially next month in New York City. The field office there reportedly has been overwhelmed, fully booked with appointments for a year. Our sources tell us that's really the push to get this backlog moved through. The concerns regarding this app, obviously it's a new app, so there's going to be some glitches. The other wider concern is, could it cause even more migrants to go under the radar? We'll have to see what happens.
All right. Yeah, there you go. Just another example of this lawless administration in Washington, D.C. Meanwhile, President Trump, his team is trying to figure out how they could get the Keystone XL pipeline up and running. Politico had a report here this week. The Trump team's plan to resuscitate a dead oil project. Maybe we'll talk more about that story coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the program. We've got phone lines open for you pretty much for the rest of the morning. We might have one guest join us in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, but we've got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. Let's see, what do I need? Oh, so this is something else that ties in perfectly with this conversation. So you just heard the report about how the Biden administration is offering up an app to make it easier for illegal aliens to check in and break into this country. But yet, this same Biden administration is figuring out ways to make it harder for you, to make everyday life harder for you. We talked with Gina Stevens, that CPA, or I'm sorry, she's an accountant in Hardin, who's on the tax committee for the Montana Farm Bureau Federation. Now they're forcing everybody across the country, if you have an LLC, which of course sweeps up a lot of farmers and ranchers there, you have to fill out this new paperwork. You have to fill out this BOI form for FinCEN before the end of the year, and you have to upload a picture of your driver's license. So they want your photo ID. We don't need a photo. They don't want you to have a photo ID to vote. But if you have an LLC, they demand that you turn in your photo ID. You know, that's an angle to that story that we didn't bring up. See, here I go on another tangent here. The Democrat Party doesn't want you to have to show a photo ID to vote. And what's their argument? Their argument is that it's racist to require a photo ID to vote, which is pretty racist on the part of the Democrats, because they basically think that if you're a minority, you're too stupid to figure out how to get an ID card. Yeah, the Democrats, that's them. That's not us saying that. That's them. The Democrats think you're too stupid. If you're black or Native American or Hispanic, the Democrats think you are too stupid to figure out how to get an ID card. That's why they argue that requiring an ID to vote is racist. So here's the thing. So if requiring an ID card to vote is racist because having to show an ID is discriminatory to black, Hispanic, Native American, fill in the blank with whatever other ethnic category they're trying to virtue signal to today. So this BOI FinCEN form that everybody has to fill out before the end of the year, and if you don't fill it out, you're going to be charged a fine of $500 a day, every day until you fill this paperwork out. It's a fairly simple form. It's really no different than the paperwork we already fill out when you register your LLC through the Montana Secretary of State's office. But now the feds are saying, you must fill out this form and send it to us, which Gina Stevens made a great point. It's like the Secretary of State's office already has this information. Why don't the feds just ask for the information from the Secretary of State's office? Probably because they know that the Secretary of State would tell them to go pound sand. So instead, they intimidate you. And they threaten you with a $500 per day fine. And it doesn't matter how much money you make off of your LLC. You could make $500 for the entire year off of your LLC selling trinkets at the farmer's market. And they will charge you a $500 a day fine if you don't fill this paperwork out. But here's the deal. They also force you to upload a copy of your driver's license, to upload a copy of your photo ID. So based off of their own arguments, based off of their own logic, if they have any, this is racial discrimination. They are discriminating against minority-owned businesses. They are discriminating against Native American-owned businesses. They are discriminating against Black-owned businesses. They are discriminating against Hispanic-owned businesses because they are requiring you to upload a photo ID when filling out this BOI FinCEN form. It's racist. 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 Okay, now to the other angle of this story that I didn't get to yet here. So they're making it harder on you across the board while they make it easier for illegal aliens across the board, right? Well, get this. Senator Steve Daines is joining a bipartisan group of senators in urging a thorough investigation into the Transportation Security Administration's TSA's unchecked and expanding use of facial recognition in airports across the United States. The senators wrote, quote, "We urge you to conduct thorough oversight of the TSA use of facial recognition technology for passenger verification from both an authorities and a privacy perspective. This technology will soon be in use at hundreds of major and mid-sized airports without an independent evaluation of the technology's precision or an audit of whether there are sufficient safeguards in place to protect passenger privacy." So in other words, the Biden administration that just made it easier for illegal aliens to check into this country using an online app, that same administration wants to spy on you, American citizens, as you simply pass through an airport with facial recognition technology. It was like Riley Gaines. She was on Fox and Friends earlier this morning with her husband, Louie. They were both in Bozeman for the Family Foundation banquet. They're trying to force him to get a COVID test to get a green card. But if you're an illegal alien, not a test, no, the stupid shot. They're trying to force him to get that. I mean, it's just insane.
Over the last 16 years, the Subaru Share the Love event has helped support over 134,000 animals, grant more than 3,600 wishes, provide more than 4.6 million meals, and help protect over 400 national parks. When you buy or lease a new vehicle during the Subaru Share the Love event, Subaru and its retailers will donate a minimum of $300 to charity, making an even greater impact. Support a great cause today at Subaru.com/share.
Fox News commentary.
The verdict is in. Illegal alien Jose Ibarra will serve life in prison without parole for the brutal murder of Lincoln Riley. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Hey, I'm Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we cover the full range of topics that are on your mind and speak with some brilliant, talented, thoughtful women and men who have excelled in their respective fields and careers. Plus, every Thursday is your turn. You get to be the lawyer and you get to ask the questions about whatever is foremost on your mind.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Justice was served. An Athens Clark County judge found Jose Ibarra, an illegal alien from Venezuela, guilty of 10 total counts, including malice and felony murder in the brutal death of Lincoln Riley. He will serve life in prison without the possibility of parole, though many Americans would have liked to see the death penalty. While Ibarra was found guilty, nothing will bring back Lincoln Riley. Her death was entirely preventable. Jose Ibarra should have never been here in the first place. And let us not gloss over the fact that some Democrats are still patting themselves on the back for policies that shield criminal illegal aliens like Jose Ibarra. It really makes you wonder how many Jose Ibarras are still roaming free in the shadows of our country and in our communities. Joe Biden and his entire administration failed Lincoln Riley, her family, and every American citizen. Thank goodness for incoming border czar Tom Holman. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
This is House Call for Health. It's one of the most popular weight loss drugs on the market, so Ozempic is in high demand, and that's not lost on a group of thieves who are stealing in bulk. Police in Wayne County, Michigan, say this is the first they've seen of it being stolen, and they're concerned it might become a trend after a sledgehammer smash and grab at a local pharmacy. Usually, the masked men behind a pharmacy heist are after painkillers, but this time in Dearborn, it was weight loss drugs. Police Chief Issa Shaheen says on surveillance footage, they're loading boxes of it into their Dodge Hellcat. $15,000 worth of weight loss drugs. Dearborn police have made one arrest, a suspect in previous felonies. But there's also concern about the bigger picture. A shortage of the weight loss drugs plus extreme demand, adding up to a black market moneymaker at the cost of real patients. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health on Lisa Brady.
The best of British TV. Start your free trial at BritBox.com.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving. Coming up to Andy and Whitefish as well. Andy, thanks for the nice message on the Montana Talks app. Yeah, I'll be with you next week, though. I'll be with you next week, and then Denny Reberg will be filling in for a few days the week right after Thanksgiving. Those are going to be some great shows for you. He'll be taking your phone calls and much more. Tammy in Kalispell just sent us a message as well. Good morning, Aaron. A big part of the illegal immigration issue is the tax-exempt NGOs that are trafficking these people. You're exactly right, Tammy. Tammy added this, at the very least, they should lose their tax-exempt status and be held accountable for human trafficking. They shouldn't be able to hide behind anonymous websites. Hope you have a great day. Thanks for all you do. Tammy, thanks for that message. Yeah, we've got to go after these NGOs that are facilitating this human trafficking operation on our southern border. Defund them at the least, if not throw some of them behind bars for their actions here in these past few years. Let's go to Clint and Bozeman on the phone lines. Clint, what's on your mind? Great to hear from you as always.
Well, good morning, and thanks for taking my call. And I hope everybody's safe out there this morning. I want to talk about two things, Aaron. One of them is the taxes here in Gallatin County, and the other one is about the federal government and what they're doing. I'll start with the county here. You know, when our college comes in here, we have about 15, 16,000 kids, and them kids are allowed to vote. If they're here 30 days, they can go down and register at the courthouse and vote. And what that does, it causes, when we have ballot issues like mill levies and bond issues, the people that live here are stuck with the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so the next thing I want to say is this. Now, the Biden administration has taken and kept this war in Ukraine going and in Israel. And we're furnishing money and we're furnishing arms and everything you can name. Now, if this should end, if Trump...
Well, Israel's buying them from us. They're buying that. I think the latest deal is they want to be able to buy it from us, not we give it to them, we sell it to them. So, yeah, anyway, yeah, go ahead.
We give them a lot, too. But anyway, I think you're right, Aaron, and part of it. But anyway, what is happening here is our factories here are running full blast, making ammunition, making tanks, making all kinds of stuff. The food products, everything that these people need. We're even paying the people in Ukraine, their army, we're paying them too. And what I'm saying is, if Trump, and I hope he does it, I hope he gets rid of this war with Russia and the Ukraine, but when it does, I'm afraid that these people that are making all these things for this war effort, there's going to be a lot of people out of work.
Well, here's the thing. I think, as a lot of us have been saying over the past you know, 4 years, is that, okay, look, we need to rebuild our stockpiles. Our military national security stockpiles have been dangerously low on several occasions now. And so that's kind of the point, is that, okay, they're spending all this money to build all these munitions, and then they're giving it to all these other countries. Meanwhile, the threat against the United States is ramping up all over the world, and they've depleted our own stockpiles. So to your point is, we need to continue to support our industry in that standpoint. But we can do it through peace, through strength. We don't. I guess it's a roundabout way of saying is that to those of you who are in the military-industrial complex, it's like, hey guys, you know, you can make money by securing America. Peace through strength, rebuilding our stockpiles. You don't need to make that money by starting new wars all over the place and potentially getting us into World War III. No, hey, Clint, great to hear from you as always. Thanks for calling in. By the way, Sam Faddis, a former CIA operations officer, he's got And Magazine. He just had a very interesting write-up talking Russia and Ukraine. I was going to mention that one. But we're out of time, and we had a great phone call from Clint. Phone lines are open for the next 2 hours. Back after this.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement, and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.